Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org. Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. Leaves you, baby.
That's U2, one of the most successful rock bands of all time. Say U2 and most people think of the band's charismatic frontman, Bono. But Bono isn't your average rock star. He's been splitting his time between rock and roll and meeting with world leaders to talk about debt relief for Africa. His efforts in Africa even got him onto the cover of Time magazine with the audacious headline, "Can Bono Save the World?" Josh Tarangelo wrote that cover story for Time and thinks, well, he just might. Recently, Bono toured Africa with U.S. Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. They were an odd couple, to say the least. Tarangelo told Ann Strainchamps how Bono and the secretary got along.
Well, you know, apparently they get along fairly well. Bono can, you know, lose his Bono-ness when he wants to, although I doubt the secretary can lose his secretariness. But basically, you know, they walk into these places. Bono's a fairly well-known figure in most of these villages. And they just ask questions. And, you know, there is a certain bit of media entourage going with them. But for the most part, they're walking around and literally doing the work of finding out how a U.S. dollar translates into aid in Africa. And naturally, they drew very different conclusions.
For people who've never heard Bono except as a member of U2, I want to play a little excerpt. This is from an interview done with him during that African trip.
The relationship between the so-called first and third world is just so screwed up. We give the tiniest percentage of our GDP every year toward the problem. I mean, it's a shocking statistic when you tell Americans or Europeans that the richer they get, the less they give.
So there, he sounds a lot more like a politician or even a policy wonk than a rock star, don't you think?
Absolutely. In our discussions, it struck me the first time I met him, you know, he's sort of known, and we treat our rock stars as these sort of empathic savants. You know, we look to them for all sorts of emotionalism. And he said, under no circumstances should he make the appeal for Africa based on emotion. That what he was trying to do now, he realized that, you know, that's the predictable way forward. And, you know, what he was trying to do is basically point out to people where the disparity of wealth is. And then, secondly, point out that that's going to come home to roost politically. You know, you tend to think of him, you know, at the front of a stage, having everybody, you know, wave their hands in the air and get particularly emotional. And he's trying to veer away from that with Africa, which is, you know, a subject rife for emotionalism. And yet, you know, he's really trying to be straightforward, statesmanlike, political on the issue.
So is Bono simply unique amongst rock musicians? Is he not the prototypical egomaniac?
Well, he is a prototypical egomaniac, and he admits that. But he's unique in the sense that he's not a dilettante. And I think there's nothing the American people hate more than being told how they should spend their money by people to whom they give their money. And, you know, rock stars are people we make fabulously rich. And we don't necessarily want to hear from, you know, somebody who's just discovered a cause about how we're bad people for not giving enough money to a certain cause that they now favor. The difference with Bono is that, one, he understands that, I think. I think he recognizes that most people don't need to hear that from him. Two, he's been on the case here since Live Aid, 1984. He did the concert with U2, and unlike most of the performers, he went to Geldof at the time and said, look, you know, I want to know more about this. I don't feel like doing a concert, raising some money, and then disappearing is the way I should involve myself in the world. So Geldof arranged a 6-week trip for Bono and his wife to stay in Africa, to work in a village at an orphanage. And, you know, that was a profoundly deep moment in his life that he talks about all the time. And from that moment, he has been involved with Africa in a variety of ways. And so I think over the course of 2 decades, people have begun to see that, you know, he's pretty serious about it. And so it's okay to take what he has to say seriously. Now, he is absolutely an exceptional case within the rock world.
We've been talking about the ways in which Bono uses his non-musical part of his life to work for Africa. Has he also used his music? Is he using his music, too, to mobilize support for Africa?
No. I mean, he really feels like the two need to be separate. He feels like, to confuse that matter, one, you know, he could be accused of exploiting the situation for his own gain, you know, his own financial gain, because his songs are, you know, very successful. And I also think that he recognizes the audience that comes to the rock show wants a rock show. You know, I grew up with U2 and got really annoyed over the years going to their shows when he would take time out and there would sort of be a Bono lecture. And you could see the rest of the guys in the band, you know, they just drum the bass and sort of kick back and play the drums lightly while Bono went into his shtick. He doesn't do it anymore. I'm really quite happy about that, both from a spectator standpoint and from a political standpoint. It's not to say they're not a political band, but they're not an explicitly political band anymore.
He's used his celebrity to arrange meetings with people who don't normally meet with pop stars. I mean, people like President Bush, President Clinton, the Pope, Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. How do they tend to respond to him?
Well, the folks that I spoke to, there tended to be two different responses. The first was, who the hell is this guy? The second was, well, everybody on my staff knows who he is, and they want me to meet him so they can get autographs. So, okay, I'll meet him. And, you know, he knows, Bono knows that this is the way he gets in the door. He says that the rock star is what allows him to get in the door. And from there, you know, once he's in, he becomes a politician. But, you know, I think he also, he knows how to use the media particularly. And we love to see, you know, random meetings. We love to see Bono and Jesse Helms together. We love to see the Pope putting on Bono's sunglasses. I mean, that sort of bizarre pop culture collision makes, you know, for a good photo, makes for a good story. And he uses that. And, you know, I think he understands that that's fine.
Is it vice versa? I mean, is this all just a game of mutual opportunism that, you know,
sure.
The staid policy wonks get the photo ops with the pop star?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sometimes hard to know who's using who. Jesse Helms got a lot of mileage out of meeting with Bono. I mean, the anecdote that got out, of course, is that Bono spoke to Helms about Africa in a very sort of rigid political way, and even that got Helms to cry. And then Helms took his grandchildren to U2's concert, and that humanized Helms in a way that really, you know, we're not used to seeing him in that regard. So I think it did him some good. Obviously, it did Bono some good because politically, the right has been the hardest to appeal to on this issue, and he's making some headway.
You know, reading your Time magazine article and talking with you now, Bono comes across as this really good guy. I mean, just a guy with a lot of heart and a lot of intelligence mm-hmm. who's using both to do the best kind of thing that he can. Is there any part of you that regards any of this with some cynicism?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I approach this from a place of tremendous suspicion because, you know, look, we have been trained by rock stars to treat their political aims derisively. They're not always coming from the best place. These are people who seek attention professionally, and so we have tremendous reason to be cynical. And I guess what impressed me most was that, one, the people who know this subject really have high regard for him. I went into a meeting with the Gates Foundation that was held in New York during the Davos summit in New York. And basically, you know, he's sitting in there dropping acronyms, knows the problems with these people whose lives are dedicated to the problem. And, you know, it amazed me the way in which he could sort of use and morph his rock stardom to the way he wanted to. He walked into the room and, you know, people are sort of taken aback. This is Bono. This is, you know, one of the world's biggest rock stars in my presence. And he uses that to charm them, to, you know, sort of get his place at the table. And then he sits down and he takes off his sunglasses and he's in the discussion. He knows what's going on.
He sounds like a secular saint, and yet earlier I asked you if he was an egomaniac, and you said, oh, yeah, sure he is. So in what way is he still an egomaniac?
Well, he's an egomaniac in that I think, you know, egomania is what makes him a rock star. I mean, to envision yourself playing in front of a stadium of 80,000 people, you have to be an egomaniac. At the same time, to envision yourself through your own absolution trying to change a continent, you have to be an egomaniac.
Hmm. I guess Bono himself is somewhat aware that there's a cynical way you could look at the image of a incredibly wealthy, incredibly popular rock star preaching about the poor. We've got one other clip I kind of wanted to play and get your reaction to. Again, I think this is from an interview he did in Africa.
It's an unhappy juxtaposition, I think, hearing rock stars talking about people starving to death. I object to it myself. And if I saw it on the TV, I'd wince. But here I am.
What do you make of that kind of thing, him saying he, you know, winces when he sees people like himself on television?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both honest and a bit of a political ploy. I mean, I do think, you know, like everybody else, you don't want to hear from a rock star about how to save the world. And yet, you know, the point of that is, who else is doing it?
Josh Tarangelo is a reporter for Time magazine. He spoke with N. Strange Chimps.